This is the perception that some religious conservatives have a somewhat Taliban-like philosophy, or perhaps simply an Old Testament one, of returning women to their traditional place in a world of male supremacy. What at first glance seems to be an unrelated patchwork of incidents adds up to a theological quilt. Brazil, for example, was cut off from U.S. AIDS assistance because its government did not explicitly condemn prostitution. Ironically, a U.S. conservatism that once stood for domestic and global realpolitik has come to promote the panacea of abstinence, a kind of cultural idealism about as sociologically plausible in the Third World, or Manhattan, as liberal plans in the 1960s for suburban school busing in the U.S. metropolitan areas. In the early 2000s, the right seems to have taken the lead in promoting unworkable social planning abstractions. This possibility has been lying in wait for decades. In 1982, I suggested in Post-Conservative America, which described a radical conservatism displacing the old genteel variety, that any Sun Belt hegemony over our politics has a unique potential. Not present in the Jackson to Bryan frontier or the Adams to Taft Eastern establishment, to accommodate a drift toward apple pie authoritarianism. The morality of the majority would be upheld and enforced, though with politically convenient lapses, the Star-Spangled Banner would wave with greater frequency and over many more parades. Increased surveillance would crack down on urban outbreaks and extreme political dissidents. We are seeing it now. Church, family, and flag, and more than a few hints of something more. Liberals discern a lip-smacking element in conservative neo-Puritanism, especially in the religious right's submission of lists of AIDS scientists and programs to be denied federal funding, as well as in the disclosure by scientists at both the National Institutes of Health and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that research proposals with the terms homosexual, prostitute, or drug user in their title, monitored by zealous congressional staffers, were routinely rejected for funding. K. Cole James, the former dean at Pat Robertson's Regent University, who was named to head George W. Bush's Federal Office of Personnel Management, had likened gays to alcoholics, adulterers, and drug addicts in her 1995 book, Transforming America, From the Inside Out. Only Jesus Christ can bring about the societal change needed to stop AIDS, preacher Franklin Graham told a 2002 Washington conference on the evangelical response to the crisis. Even harsher theology abounds on the far right, especially in the fringe Christian Reconstruction movement, which endorses biblical punishments. Walter Olson, a gay conservative, penned an analysis of the Recons, noting their penetration of the homeschooling movement and some elements of anti-government libertarianism, but going on to chuckle about how their positions, such as favoring stoning for adulterers, enabled others on the right to feel moderate. What with one Christian Reconstructionist faction proposing the actual judicial murder of gays, fewer blink at the position of a Gary Bauer or Janet Folger, who support laws exposing them to mere imprisonment. Some of the humor is inadvertent, born of salacious gusto. Liberal columnist Katha Pollock quoted Virginia State Legislator Robert Marshall arguing that the day-after pill would turn young women into chemical love canals for frat house playboys. Jokes about the Spanish Inquisition come easily to mind, or some latter-day Nathaniel Hawthorne profiling a Christian coalition visit to Salem. But disappointment is equally in order, because the conservative case against the prurient society, which had genuine merit, has now become a caricature, its fervor more posture than plausible solution. Zealots have helped to enact so-called covenant marriage, disavowing divorce except for adultery, abandonment, imprisonment, and such like, as an option in three states, Louisiana, Arizona, and Arkansas. However, to the glee of liberals, only 2% of those getting married locally so opt. Nor do the values of evangelical Protestantism uniformly prevail in Utah, where minor degrees of Mormon harem-keeping persist. Polygamous marriages are estimated to be in the tens of thousands, and child bride laws have been enacted to curb that pernicious aspect. But from the GOP perspective, Mormons are swell. In 2004, Utah gave George W. Bush his largest statewide percentage. Feminists decry another hypocrisy. While the Christian right and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration blocked sex-linked medications for women, a vaccine to prevent HPV, the virus responsible for most cervical cancers, and Intrinsa, a testosterone patch intended to raise libido in women whose ovaries have been removed, male use of Viagra was encouraged. For 5 years, until the discovery of the practice in 2005, New York State handed out free Viagra under Medicaid to sex criminals because state authorities thought that federal rules so required. Beyond any doubt, early in the Bush years, the abstinence cause also became a vehicle for channeling large amounts of money to a wide variety of organizations that were faith-based and connected to the religious right. Pregnancy crisis centers, abstinence programs, anti-condom organizations, and passion for prayer clubs, totaling perhaps $1 billion through 2004, with another $170 million budgeted for the 2005 fiscal year.